industry to just suddenly jump into it at a young age?
I'm a commercial girl. Like, I wasn't a high fashion week girl. It's so different now. I think social media has made a huge difference. Stats that you need to have are not as strict anymore. If you've got a million people following you on Instagram, it makes sense. Clients want marketing, and you don't need to go with the most well-known agency in the world to do well.
You'll get booked on your personality as well as your looks. It's not just what you look like. You need to be prepared for these things. Casting, read the brief. And for TV stuff, just don't take yourself too seriously. Sometimes there's lower paid rates, but it will get better. Go to this casting director. You meet them. You might not get this job, but I'm telling you now, they remember you.
Welcome to the Model Agents Podcast. I'm Gemma Howard, the CEO and founder of Body London. Today on the episode, I'm interviewing Rachel Peacock. She's one of my most successful model agents. She's going to be telling you all of her top tips, tricks on her perspective as a former model and a very successful model agent. Okay, so tell everybody about you and where did you grow up?
Grew up in Aberdeen in Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small, but cute. All my family are still there. So I loved it.
Cute. And were you scouted?
Yeah. So I was scouted in London when I was there with my mom when I was 18. And then just kind of made a flip decision to go and try it. And just, it was kind of a go spend a year, see if you enjoy it. And see what happens.
Where were you when you were scouted?
Oxford Street.
Oh, wow. Classic.
Yeah, I know. It does sound a bit cliche, but yeah. But it was one of them. I think when you're 18, you have no fear. And so it was, my mom and dad were amazing and just said, go, do it.
Love that.
So I did, yeah.
So you finished school and then you, was that quite scary moving to, did you know anyone in London?
My uncle was here. He worked here a lot. So he was the only kind of person I knew. To be honest, looking back, I don't think I could do it now.
Really?
But at the time, I had no fear. I was just excited. And it was, it'd always been a dream of mine. So to get the opportunity to try, it was amazing.
Had it been a dream to be in London or to be a model?
Yeah, not London necessarily, just modeling. Really? I always wanted to do it. But coming from a small place, I think most people probably thought I was living in cloud cuckoo land.
Yeah.
But I did miss Scotland and things like that. And
did
so I
you?
Got, yeah.
Ooh.
So I got a taste of that kind of things and I loved it.
Was that before you got scouted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how did you get into that?
So Miss Scotland, I knew a couple of people and actually my, I worked in a bar at the time and my friend entered me.
Really?
Tell me.
Oh, wow.
So I did that. I did Miss Great Britain and that then took me here. And
so she's a pageant girl.
I know, I'm a pageant girl. Pageants are different now though. Back then they were amazing.
Really?
So much more well thought of than I feel like they've fizzled out now. But yeah, it got me here and then it got my foot in the door to kind of meet agencies and stuff. So
it probably gave you confidence.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it did.
Because if you can do that, you can.
Oh God, yeah. Strutting about in front of, it, to be honest, it was the talking part at age 18. Really? I was a bit like, how am I going to help the world?
did they ask you that question?
They do ask you questions like
what
that,
yeah.
What
did you say?
I honestly can't remember, but the judges said that was what got me, that's how I won it. Because I just was like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I can talk. We all know I can talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love that. So you won Miss Scotland?
No, Miss Great Britain.
Did you? Are you joking? We need to get the pictures on the screen right now.
No.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
But then I stayed in London. Well, I think my mom said, just go for a year. And then I think I was 11 years before I left.
Wow.
And then, yeah, crazy.
And then Manchester, which we'll come
to. I loved London though. And I love coming back now for work. So I get the best of both worlds.
True. So who scouted you? Was it a scout or an agency?
It was a scout. It wasn't an agency in particular. And she was lovely. Although I have to say it was brutal to begin with. I'm a commercial girl. Like I wasn't a high fashion, you know, fashion week girl. So it was hard to find my right agency for me because commercial is different in London. But there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of TV ads and smiley stuff. And yeah. I was very fitness orientated then. I still am. But so I did like women's health, women's fitness, Mizuno campaigns. That was kind of where I found my
that was your niche.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So it was not, it was good, but it's funny to see now the difference in the industry.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it's so different now.
In what way?
I think social media has made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. There's girls that would never have even been seen by certain agencies that are now, and rightly so. Don't get me wrong. I do think some of the, you know, stats that you need to have are not as strict anymore. Mm. If you've got a million people following you on Instagram, because you're going to bring something else to the table. Yeah. At the end of the day, it makes sense. Clients want marketing and you're giving them that in a completely different way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's changed a lot in that sense. That wasn't a thing when I started. But then you've still got your other agencies that will probably, you know, that keep the old school. So yeah, it's evolving, and hey, it has to. It's good, and it's way more diverse, which is amazing. But yeah, I had a lot of no's, put it that way, when I first started out. But it's good. It's
how did you react? Not react. How did you cope with the no's? Did you have some like coping mechanism?
I was quite ballsy as an 18, 19-year-old. I do it wrong. I, at first, I was a bit like, am I wasting my time? Mm-hmm. I've been scouted, but then now I'm being told no. And it was very back and forth for a while. But I think it was, you get a feel for an agency when you meet them. And I think that is a big thing for a model. You want to be with somebody that actually cares and not just a small fish in a big pond that's going to get lost. So I think when I realized that kind of helped massively. And you don't need to go with the most well-known agency in the world to do well.
Yeah.
That, which I proved quite well. So,
yeah. So was this then when you were going around agencies to try and be signed?
Yeah. I was with a couple of agencies really, because it wasn't really, you didn't have to be exclusive as such when I modeled. So, and it actually worked to my favor because I was with like a sports agency that did a lot of sports stuff. I was with a TV agency that did all my commercials.
Oh, cool.
And then just a commercial agency. So it was good. So yeah, I mean, I worked for 10 years solid all over. I lived in Cape Town for 5 months.
Wow.
I went to Germany. I traveled a lot, which is definitely a fun part of the job.
So what was the market like in Cape Town? Because I know it's a very short period.
Yeah.
So like into casting.
So it's our winter, their summer.
Yeah.
So many castings, so many models. The whole place just gets taken over. Yeah. But it's obviously a big part of why everybody flies out there is, oh, it's a long way away, but an hour's time difference. And it's so cheap to hire studios, to hire houses for like all the stuff I did was in location places. I did a beer commercial. Bits and bobs like that. There was a lot, though.
Yeah.
And to be honest, so many UK casting directors go out there to cast. So you're seeing the same people in Cape Town.
So weird.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I got out there and knew about 10 models that were there. So we all just kind of flat shared. It was so much fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely do that.
Bye, Matt.
But it's great. And it's a busy... It's a busy place. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was some scary parts. I got mugged twice.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow.
My own fault. You just got to stick to the areas and don't veer off.
Did you veer off?
I veered off.
Yes.
It's still a country that has two sides to it, which is actually quite eye-opening if you've never been.
Yeah.
You don't really, because it's such a tourist destination, you don't really think of that. And so, it's such an incredible place. I love South Africa in general. But yeah, it was a kid that took my
hand. Really?
He must have
been
about 10. Yeah. And he just whizzed past me, took it and ran off. I was like, okay, lesson learned.
Oh no.
But yeah, it's kind of funny when you tell the story now. It was such a cool place to live. A lot of models I know still do seasons out there. It's busy. You can do a lot.
Yeah. What was your first job?
I know a friend of ours is a photographer, and he booked me with two friends that I worked at Abercrombie with.
Oh, were you an Abercrombie girl?
Two male models. I was an Abercrombie girl.
Oh, I love that. I mean, you kind of had to be.
Yeah, it was the place to be.
It's great, wasn't it, for casting?
Do you know what? They were so flexible.
Yeah.
It was, to be honest, scouts used to come in there all the time for people that weren't models. Mm. But yeah, that was, I'm pretty sure that was my first proper good job.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
We were out there for a week. So it was a sports shoe.
Mizuno running. Yes, yeah. It was all trainers. We actually had to run, which I didn't quite realize before. But yeah, it was really good. It was incredible.
Nice. And what was maybe not such a good job? Do you have any memorable, like, nightmare jobs?
Ooh. Do you know what?
Or situations that you think, God, we would never allow that.
Yeah, there were some iffy situations.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's just part and parcel of, you know, any industry, any job. There's going to be some not so nice people.
Yeah.
Some photographers that, there was a couple of photographers that I came across that just kind of, I think, took their job too far. Like, the power gets on top, gets a bit over, they think they're untouchable in that sense. So yeah, you can come across some not so nice people, but the majority, I have to say, I don't have any bad.
That's good.
Bad memories of any jobs that I did.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you do e-com?
Yes. Bits, like, I did. I wasn't like I did a lot of. I actually did Harrods, who's one of my clients now, which is so funny.
No
I
way.
Did. I know, crazy. So
at
long
Art
ago,
Studios.
It was the old studios, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Sports Direct, things like that. I did. I wasn't an e-com girl. I was more. I did a lot with women's health, women's fitness. I did. Do you know when your mind goes blank when you think, what did I do for 12 years?
I remember you showing us in the office, like a TV commercial of you, and you're popping up behind the bar. It was so funny.
I did so many
TV
commercials.
Doing yeah.
I love those types of castings as well, because they were like, talk. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, easy.
That's me. Yeah. I loved castings in person, because I just feel like, and I think some models don't realize, like, you'll get booked on your personality as well as your looks. It's not just what you look like.
Yeah.
And one of my first ever castings was for a Primark campaign. And I was stood in this huge room and they said, sing.
No way.
I went, sorry? And she said, sing your favorite nursery rhyme. I was like, I can't sing. She was like, I don't care. Just do it. And I was like, okay. And I actually think I sang Build Me Up Buttercup, which is not a nursery rhyme.
Cute.
I just belted it. And I got the job.
Did you?
And they told me at the job, they were like, you were one of five that did it. And we saw about 400 girls that day. Well, others just walked out.
Wow.
And I was like, really? And they were like, that's all we wanted. We just wanted to see that you could, you know, don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a test. And we were seeing who did it and who didn't. And I was like, isn't that hilarious? It worked. It was hilarious.
Love that.
Yeah, I sounded like a strangled cat, but
that's great.
They said we'd already whittled down who we wanted, and this was just kind of what we wanted to see.
Yeah.
Who would and who wouldn't. So I do think personality is a huge thing for models.
Should add that to the training, the briefing.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Be ready to sing in castings.
So your most favorite modeling was doing TV commercials.
I actually, I had the most fun doing them.
Yeah.
Because the sets are always so big. There's such big productions. And you would usually, there'd be a big group of you and it would last for a few days. It wasn't just a one shoot. And I did love them. And I did get, that was, I think I, to be honest, that's what kind of made me my most money was that kind of stuff. Because also you then get buyouts. And back then the buyouts were big and lovely. And so, and then you'd get usages. And do you know, it was just interesting as well, because it was a side of the industry that people don't know that much about unless you are in it. And I loved it.
Yeah. What advice would you give to models going into, let's say, like a TV commercial casting?
Casting?
Yeah.
Read the brief.
Yeah.
Find out what you're casting for, because so many times, sometimes they'll just be off the cuff, ask you questions if there's nothing specific they need you to do. But if they're asking you to come in and dance, like do yes. some homework.
Yeah.
Don't go to a casting of something like I think this is one of the big mistakes. People say they can do things that they can't, and then they get caught out when they get sent to a casting and say, yeah. okay, tap dance. And you're like, I can't tap dance. So make sure your agent tells you and sends you what the actual brief is that the casting director is asking for. Because I do think you need to be prepared for these things. You need to know and find out about the product that you're doing it for. Because clients love if you come in and you know what you're talking about. If you walk in and go, I don't know what I'm here for. It's not a
it's
great
like a job interview.
Well,
if someone came in and they had no idea, you'd be like, why are you here?
Why are you here? Exactly.
Yeah.
So do your homework. That's the bit. But for any casting, I think that is key. Don't walk into a casting for a client that you don't know. If you've never heard of them, find out. Because a lot of clients will ask you, that would be one of the first questions. Like, what do you know about our brand?
Yeah.
And that's what I used to get asked.
If
you don't, then it's embarrassing.
No, 100%.
So yeah, homework is the main thing. And for TV stuff, just don't take yourself too seriously. Mm. For TV commercials, they want people that will just have fun with it. Mm. 9 times out of 10, they don't want professionals of whatever that is. Otherwise, they would be casting.
I think that's really good advice, not to take yourself too seriously. I think as people get older, they can take themselves too seriously. I think it's easier when you're younger and you're just a bit more free. But I think, you know, you can still make a lot of money in this industry.
True, right.
Going into your, you know, 40s, 50s. I mean, we've got models in us in their 60s.
Less competition at that age.
We're not there yet.
No.
Whoa. So I think that's great advice, actually, to people not to take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
And just to go in there with,
you need to have fun. You know, yeah, have fun with it. And I tell you now, you'll come out better
100%
than you will if you go in like a stiff.
So when did you move to Manchester then?
I've been there now, oh my goodness, 11, 12 years?
Wow.
I know, crazy. My husband's
so you're in London for about 10 years. So
know,
why did you...
God, you make it... Everyone's going to know how old I am now.
You can cut that.
No. The reason we moved, to be honest, meeting my partner, husband, he's from Manchester. Mm. We trialed it, him coming here all the time. I went there at the weekends. I think when we decided to buy a house, it was just a bit of a no-brainer of what we'd get there and what we'd get here.
Yeah, true.
And we wanted to start a family. So...
Yeah,
it was, you know, I have no family here and his family are there. So at least there we'd have one set close by. So that was kind of why. And also I had an agency in Manchester at the time. And I just thought, well, why not? I can still travel back and forth to London if I need to. So I just kind of did it. And then that was kind of where I fell into working in the agency there.
Yeah.
Part time.
Oh, so you were modeling and then...
Yeah.
So how did you get the job in the working as an agent in?
I just asked.
Was it your agency that you were modeling for?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I just said to them, could I work with... Is there anything I can do in the office? Because then it's still an industry I love and know. I'll help out. I'll do whatever. It just... Because the Manchester market and London market are different. Like, there's nowhere near as much castings up there as there is in London. And so I just found myself being a bit bored. Even though I was still working, okay, I was a bit like, I just want to be doing more.
Yeah.
So I just said, if the days I'm not needing modeling-wise, can I be in here? So I just kind of wormed my way in. And so I started off just helping out with, like, new faces and bits and bobs like that.
What was the agency?
Nemesis.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. The girls, I still speak to the girls there. They're lovely. Mm. It was great. I worked well for a while. And then I got pregnant and left. Went back part-time and unfortunately that just didn't really work out. So I then worked for a guy called Mark for a reality check. And he is primarily TV stuff, TV and film, which was interesting for me because although the modeling side booking, I wasn't doing a lot of booking at Nemesis. So for going to go to Mark, it was interesting because it was not really any model stuff. It was all TV and actors. Mm. But wow, it was crazy.
Really?
But so good to learn because the contracts were different. Like, I met every casting director under the sun, which is, they obviously do everything. They don't just do acting stuff. But it was just like all his stuff was spotlight. So it was nice to learn that side of it because the film side of things as well. He was booking body doubles for Will Smith for it was interesting. And watching a lot of self tapes.
Really?
That bit was stressful.
Yeah.
We all know how hard it is to get hold of self tapes.
Yes.
Times that by 10.
And a good self tape.
That's it. Because you've got to watch them before you send them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I worked with him and it worked well for me at the time because I had a little baby and he was like, you can work wherever you want. I work from home. He's one of the loveliest guys. And it just fitted with me at that time.
Mm.
And and then COVID.
Yeah.
And then
I found you guys.
Yeah, how funny that we actually did that. We did the interview and everything in COVID.
And I hadn't met you for about 3 months, I think, until you came in.
We weren't allowed to go anywhere, were we?
Yeah.
That was full lockdown.
We won't talk about
then
that.
Then I used to sneak. And then, yeah, so I heard about, it was Rosie from Nemesis that told me that you were looking for a remote booker in London, in Manchester. And I emailed Marcus. And then I did two interviews with you guys on Zoom.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Okay, so how did you benefit in being a model agent, having been a model yourself?
Mm. Do you know what? It's, for me, it's the relationship I have with the models.
Mm.
A lot of them, if they know I was a model, come to me to ask questions. And I like speaking to people. Like, that is my kind of thing. Like, speak to me, tell me what's wrong, I'll explain it, whatever. But I think the minute, if a model ever questions a rate or a client or a job to me, I flip it and go, look, I've been you.
Mm.
And they suddenly just change because I think they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're not just trying to, you know, you're not just push. You're actually understanding where I'm coming from. It's also explaining rates to them or explaining, like, sometimes there's lower paid rates, but it will get better. Mm-hmm. Like, or go to this casting director.
Mm.
You meet them. You might not get this job, but I'm telling you now, they remember you.
Mm.
I've had it happen to me where you cast for a direct casting director. They're like, you're not right for this one. 6 months later, we want her for this one. Don't even bother casting her.
Yeah.
It does happen. I'm not making it up. Mm. And I think when they know that you've been on their side, doesn't matter what clients you've been working for. The industry is the industry. And it just helps. I get on with models and I think if they trust you and they realize that you actually care, it works for everyone.
I agree. I think it's definitely interesting when I have new bookers coming who haven't been in the industry, but I think having been, like we both have, you know, both sides, you have so much empathy for the models.
Oh God, yeah.
And you know what they're going through. And I think when there's ever an issue, you're like, look, what happened? And then you speak to the client and you find out what happened, you know. But I think a lot of bookers who maybe haven't,
it's hard.
They wouldn't get it.
If you've never been in this industry, it's very hard to explain it to someone. And you see so many models turned into bookers. And I get it. Like, I love this industry. So getting to stay in it on a different side, I actually love booking. You know, people sometimes say to me, like, did you not want to? Why did you give it up? And I'm like, I didn't feel like that to me. I loved this side.
Yeah.
And the structure is also nice. Being self-employed for 12 years.
Yeah.
It's stressful. And again, with saying that to models, I get you. Mm. I remember how stressful it is. Mm. You don't know what you're getting every month unless, a model in my eyes, when I was a model, all you want is regular clients to have that continuity. Yeah. And so when you can get that for a model, it's nice. Yeah.
So true. And what maybe surprised you when you, because I often think that sometimes the models might think that it's easy, our job.
I think I did.
What surprised you when you became an agent?
The graft.
Yeah.
And anyone in this industry will agree. I love it and I buzz off it. And I'm happiest when I'm busy. Like, that's my thing. I work better that way. I work better being manic, even though sometimes your head explodes. But I don't think anyone realizes until you get into the industry, and you need to be in a busy agency to really get it. Like, body's different to any other agency I worked for, and it is hard and it's stressful. It is stressful, and sometimes you want to scream, but it's so rewarding and so fulfilling when you get to see what you book come to life. And make, you know, the relationships you make with the models, the relationships you make with the clients. Mm. It's nice. Like, I really love that side of it, because you do speak to these people every day.
Yeah.
And they get it. Like, they'll phone you and be like, it's a day. Yes.
Yeah.
And true. I love that. Like, you got to be real about it. Don't pretend it's all roses, because it's not. But that's part of the fun. Mm. No job is, well, I wouldn't enjoy it if it was handed to me on a plate.
Yeah.
That but it takes hard. Away from it. But it is hard, very hard. And you don't work 9 to 5.
So how would you explain to people watching or listening what is a model agent? What is a model booker? What do they do? Ooh,
10 different things. So our job is to get our models signed off working with our clients. So Body London works a little bit different to other London agencies in that we have our own client lists.
The bookers do.
Yeah. So most London agencies will work on women's board, men's board. So they can only book those models, but can work with any client. Mm. Body has it that each booker has a list of clients, and that is, they are your only contact, which again, I love, because you get a better relationship with those clients. Mm. So we speak to these clients every day. We send them new models that come into town. We send them models to cast. To end game is getting them signed off to work with them regularly. But then also on the flip side, you have clients that maybe just do campaigns. Again, you get them into cast, or you have them come into the agency, do big castings. The whole start to finish product is always, you know, you showing your client who we have for them to then book, whether it be regular, whether it be for a campaign, whether it be, you know, however they shoot. So really our job is easier the better you know your client, what they need, when they need it, and keeping on top of who they've seen, who they haven't seen. Mm. But when you think about how many models we have coming into town weekly, how many clients you have, you need more hours in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of basis of it. Yeah. There's a lot, you know.
I think the difference.
The
difference, really, like you said, between us is that, I mean, imagine you're a client and you have us, one person, but at another agency, you could have 5 or 6 people, and they're selling you what they think you want. We are so different. We ask them, what do you want?
Yeah.
And then we'll find it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very clear difference for us, which does help us, because we then, as you said, you have better relationships.
Yeah. It is. It's primarily, everybody wants their job to be easier to know what that person wants. Mm. The client's going to be happier. I don't want to send people to the client that is irrelevant. It's a waste of their time. It's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really understand. I couldn't imagine working on a board where you work women's, men's and stuff, because then that client's speaking to 6 different people probably daily.
Yeah.
It must be so confusing.
And then you have a great relationship and they're like, Rach, I just want to book with you.
Yeah.
Like, can you just get me one of the guys? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I can't. I'm going to have to put you onto Bill.
Bill.
I don't know. Bob. Bob or Bill.
Bill. Yeah, I know. No, I love the fact that we have our own lists and that we can build those relationships, because I just think, you know, It's easier for everyone.
Yeah.
And also models know, you know, when you're working with, you get to work with all the models. Mm. I think that would be weird if you could only have, what if you fell out with that?
Well, that's actually a really good point. Mm. Now, that happens at most agencies. You will be allocated your booker, but if the booker doesn't like you. then the model, but that's, I think, why time and time again, models come to us from so many big agencies. Mm. And they say, this is just so refreshing. You know, you guys are just so nice. You have good morals. And also you have all of our you know, however many 20 plus bookers that mm-hmm. can book you, you don't have to feel like you don't need to bring us presents. It's lovely when they do.
Yeah, but you don't need a favorite. You don't need to suck up to anyone. You're going to get put in everyone's pack. And that is good.
Yeah. 100%.
I think the models get more opportunity getting put forward by everyone.
Did you feel like that when you were, did you have a booker and did you ever have any situations where you thought, this person doesn't like me?
Yeah, definitely. Bigger agencies. I'm just saying, I can't think of a specific, but I know, it is that you, if you're not, I think the thing that from what I saw when I especially began, you could tell when you were in the agency who the favorites were. And if you weren't one of them, didn't matter what you did. And then suddenly you could book a 30K commercial and you're like, oh, and it's like, wow, this is how it works. And it's that's sad, you know, it is what it is. But just some of the agencies I've been involved in, you do see, it's not hard to see who the faves are.
Yeah.
So
I know, I really dislike that. And I think even how we, as you know, how we, you know, lay out our light boxes is so OCD, but it just, I know, I'm sorry, but it just, I want everyone to have a fair shot. I don't want people to be like, oh, these are, you know, my faves. Mm-mm. No, we don't want to do that.
We don't have faves.
And I think also for you, that is what makes you different, because you, well, we both, you experience that. Yeah. So you go, okay, well, that's not fair.
No.
Not going to let that happen.
Everyone needs it. And that's the thing, like anyone that comes to me and says, you know, I feel like I want to be working more and stuff, like then you push even more so for that person. You don't go, ugh, to the side. Yeah. You know, you like all of the models, every model goes through ups and downs. Like, doesn't matter how good a model you are, there's always going to be peaks and troughs in the industry when it goes a little quieter or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason for that. Nobody knows why that happens. But yeah, I just think every model should be pushed as far as they can go. And if there's something wrong, let's fix it.
Yeah.
Get new tests. Yeah. Do this, do that. There's always something you can do.
What advice would you give then to maybe people listening who are one of those models who have a booker who maybe they just feel like they're not
getting it?
Yeah. Mm. What advice would you maybe give to them?
Speak to them. And if nothing changes, leave.
Yeah.
Life's too short. Like, you're in, especially for girls, and, you know, yes, the industry, you can be in it for as long as you want. But if you're losing your time and they're not pushing you and they're not doing it, like, there's so many agencies out there. Not every model is fit for the right, for that agency. Do you know what I mean? And so if you speak to them and nothing changes, then they're not listening.
Yeah.
So move on.
That's good advice. That's good advice. For people listening who really have no idea what we do and think that sounds easy, maybe. Let's say you get an email from a client. Let's say it's a new client. What do you do? What are the steps from kind of start to finish?
So find out exactly what the shoot is. Is it e-com? Is it a campaign? Is it beauty? Is it hair? Find out if they have any kind of brief. So, you know, some clients will come to us with their brief laid out, clear as day. You can't really go wrong. Some are more open, like, we don't really know what we want. So really just establish if they have any requirements, height, ethnicity, female, male, both, and get as much information as I can from them. And then there, I will put a pack together.
What's a pack?
So a pack is a light box, which we create on our back office, which basically shows you the models that we're suggesting to you.
So it's like a curated
web page.
Yeah,
so it's a page that it will come through to them as like a PDF type thing. And it will have our blonde girls, our brunette girls, and it will be laid out in that way that they can see who we have. All of their stats are next to the girls' names, height, waist, bust, everything like that. And they can then, our packs are interactive, which is pretty cool. So they can then delete models they don't like. They can request Polaroids. They can request video. They can ask any questions they want to. It comes back to us as an email, which is super handy. And we go from there. If they want to cast in person, they can then do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to book direct, then we then negotiate what they need rate-wise, usage-wise, depending on the model.
How do you choose rates for models?
We don't choose them. We usually find out, firstly, what the client's budget is, because that can vary. We will always then try and meet that budget. Like, you know, we have so many different girls. We don't have set rates for anyone. There are certain girls who have done, you know, certain girls who have been in the industry a long time, who have worked hard, who have worked with incredible clients.
Mm.
We wouldn't let them go out for less than a certain amount.
Mm.
But then that's also still relative depending on who the client is. If it's an incredible opportunity for that model, I would speak to her and say, I think you should do this.
Yeah.
I know it's less than what you'd usually work for. And kind of go that way. Most of our girls, guys, want to work.
Yeah.
And so unless a client comes to me asking for the world for £200, I will always do my best to make it, you know, get them who they need, what they need for what they need.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's all relatives. We have a lot of small clients that start out and we grow with them. The models grow with them and their rates double every year. And it's nice to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So we've always got someone.
You have to be kind.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to, everything that you said, you have to work with the client and then also communicate with the model. So many agencies will just turn down work for models before they've actually spoken to them, have a conversation. They might be willing to work for a slightly lower rate. Mm-hmm. But also it's our job to push for the best for them.
Of course. And we will always do that. You know, if a client says they have this budget, and then I will always say, like, you have to understand, you new faces.
Mm.
You know, some of our new faces would work to this rate, but here's what you can have if we can push the budget a bit more. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, okay, we'll make this work. And it's just showing them we can't let our models go out. You know, we have to fight both sides.
Yeah.
And it is playing that middle person of, I want to do what I can for you, but I'm also going to get the best I can for you. So you're just keeping everyone happy.
100%. And what would you say to those people that are thinking, like, God, that just sounds like such an easy job, just being a,
Try.
So what is your day-to-day kind of routine?
I have my core clients that I speak to on a daily basis, check in if there's anything they need. I actually love scheduling some emails. If I need to check in with something in the morning, I'll schedule it for the night before so I don't forget.
That's clever.
I love that.
Yeah.
Obviously, as soon as I sit down, I go through my inbox, what's there, clear it. And then our model management team send us daily updates of who we have coming to town. So I keep notes on who's coming in and when they're coming in. So I tend not to send models that are arriving too early, because I've found it annoys my clients if they ask to see them the next day and they've still got 3 weeks to wait. So I pin them on my schedule. So I do that. I send them out to all clients that I think are relevant. And that's kind of how the day starts. I will send packs to anyone that I have new people in town. I know they're casting. Or I follow up from jobs the day before. How did it go? What have you got coming up next?
Mm.
Usually that will then lead on to their next shoot. Start creating light boxes for that, and then so on and so forth. Kind of, there's not specific. I have the core people I speak to every day, or at least update them with who I have in town, because I know they cast and shoot that often.
Mm.
They want to see more people every day. There's certain clients that don't want that because they don't shoot that level.
Yeah.
So I just So it's knowing who's who. And who need, and then obviously going through the models that are coming into town and only sending them to the people that would actually book them.
Yeah.
And then answering every email that comes through.
And being on the phone.
And being on the phone and having meetings.
Yeah.
And
so, clients, so talk us through maybe because you're down in London this week.
Yeah.
And you've got client meetings. So talk us through what that looks like.
So I like meeting clients face to face. I think it's so crucial to know who you're speaking to every day, especially if you take over. Like, sometimes clients change. You know, if we get new clients, the first thing I want to do is meet them face to face. So it would usually it'll either be at Chiltern Firehouse for a nice coffee, or if the client requests us to go to them because they're manic, and it, and then so we will go to them, whatever fits their best. And really, it's just to get a gauge of what they need going forward, day to day. Is there any type of models you're missing on your roster? Is there any models that you want us, you know, do you have no blondes right now and you need them? Or what is your core model that you look for? Just so I know moving forward, I'm not sending them irrelevant models that they're never going to look at. Yeah. So it's gauging that, finding out how often they shoot, what their rates are, and what their needs are. And really, you want to come away knowing everything there is to know. You don't need to ask them any more questions. You're then, you can send them who they need and set up castings. We always take model cards with us so we can go through models, but I actually also like taking my laptop because between the two, they get to, if they need to see something from a model card, can I see her polos? Yes. So it's, and I do spreadsheets sometimes.
Well, we went to, do you remember the meeting that we went to with Astrid, the jewelry? Yeah. And you were so amazing because you knew that they wanted girls with multiple piercings. Mm. So you prepped this Excel doc and it was like all prepped and she couldn't believe it. And you were like, well, wait one sec.
She's got five piercings in the left ear.
But that's kind of what we're about.
Yeah.
And we basically...
be one step ahead.
Yeah. We're the facilitator for these clients, but it's like, give us the information. We will get it for you.
Promise. Yeah.
But if they don't give it to us, it makes it harder. But, you know, like you said, you don't want to be showing them people that they don't want.
And that's it. And I get, you know, a lot of our clients that we work with are so busy, just like we are. And I get, you know, sometimes... I will chase, not crazy, but we all chase each other. It's a whole industry thing. And I don't think any, I think everybody knows that it is just a case of, I know you're
we're
so
all
busy,
doing our best.
That's it. So tell me what you need and I promise I'll help you. Just,
yeah.
And that's all it is. All we want to do is just help each other.
And I think also another point for people listening, if they want to get into the industry, you have to be on it. You have to be replying to briefs so quickly. You have to be responding to messages.
That's one of my that is one of my things. Like I will reply to you within 5 seconds. And if I don't, it's because I'm in a meeting or I'm not in that
There's
day.
A problem.
Literally.
Yeah.
And some of my clients will email me being like, are you okay?
Same.
Because you usually reply like 5 seconds flat. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not in today. So-and-so is covering. And obviously, when you're covering two people's emails, it's not going to happen so quick. But I do think I like it when people reply quick. Everything is more efficient if you're not having...
You have to.
Because we get that many emails all day long. Mm. If they don't reply, you're forever pinning emails to come back to them. And if it's a five, you know, usually we can answer them pretty quick. And if it's a pack, I'll at least reply to you and say, doing it now.
Yeah. 100%.
If I know it's going to take me a minute.
What would affect you booking a model?
Only if, you know, if they're a model that, I guess it would depend. If it was a model I've never met before, who is new. And the only thing I struggle with models is if they don't reply. They need to reply just as much as, you know, when they email us. I'm sure they think exactly the same. And yes, I know I don't reply within 5 seconds to models. If it's not an urgent request, I will happily admit that. But I always do reply. I always say to models, WhatsApp me, because I will see that in a heartbeat or for me. But for me to not book a model, it would be purely only based if they just didn't reply.
Yeah.
So one, if I knew they were 100, you know, we have their charts, but there's certain models that come into town that we know we have to check with them first.
Yeah.
If they have childcare or anything like that, there's things that come into play. And if you don't reply to my email, my WhatsApp, my phone call, then I'm not putting you in the pack because I can't take the risk that then you're going to turn around and say, I'm not free. Mm. And then I've got to let the client down. So that's really the only reason that I would stop.
Mm.
I think if we had a real issue with any model, we would be bringing them in to speak
model
to model management.
Yeah. We've both had situations like this, though, when a client wants to book a model and we're trying to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And most other agencies would just go, oh, that's fine, hope for the best. I don't even know if they think like that. Yeah. But we just worry.
I need to speak to them. Just tell me yes.
We need a reply. So actually, there's been many occasions where I'm sure you have. Just, I'm sorry, but you can't have the model. They're not responding to me. I'm not taking that risk.
Yeah.
These people are responding to me. Take them.
Yeah. Especially if it's, you know, how many bookings we get at 5 o'clock the night before confirming. Yeah. If I've not heard back from that model,
you
need a backup in place because I'm not having the client have no model.
But that's good advice from you. So it's just being responsive.
Just being responsive. And I'm sorry, it takes 2 minutes. Yeah. You don't even have to say anything. Just reply to reply a blank email. Yeah. And I know you've got it. That's all I ask. And I just think, you know, we do our job. You need to do yours. This is your career at the end of the day. And if you aren't checking your emails and being on it, that's a big problem. You will miss out on jobs.
Yeah. And don't think that you need to bribe us with presents.
Oh, God, no.
We don't need the presents. We just need you to be quick.
Yeah.
And just be on it.
Just have some personality. Like, leave your mark when you go to jobs. Rebookable models are ones that clients remember.
Put your phone down.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many complaints do we get about that? I get it. Phones, everybody's glued to the phone these days, but you're at a job.
Yeah.
If you were in an office, you wouldn't have your phone in your hand. Mm. So it's the same.
Yeah.
You can look at it on your breaks, lunch, whatever. But no, models, that is a serious thing. And I know it's a big client pet peeve.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, yeah,
because it just comes across rude. And I know these models, they're not meaning that.
Yeah.
But it's disrespectful just to be sat like this 24/7.
100%.
You're on a job.
And what advice would you give to models who, you know, they maybe feel like their career is kind of at a stalemate? What would be your advice to try and take it to the next level?
Take a step back, sit down with your agency, look at your book, look at, you need to get all the factors into place. Is your book, when was the last time you tested? When was the last time you are you going to all the castings you're getting sent to? So I think if you're plateauing and you're not getting any new clients, the first thing I would do is test. Get some new images that your agency can then send you out like a brand new model.
Yeah.
Get you some more castings, go sees. And that's it. I think that should do a lot. If there's still an issue, you need to sit down and figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, appearance changes can do a lot for a model. We've had models dye their hair bright blonde and go, voom, just a change, you know? And I think headshots, like, we're big into changing our headshots on the girls and guys all the time, because sometimes in a light box for models, that's all the client's looking at. They don't often, like, they don't always open.
It's the headshot.
The headshot is what draws them in. So even if you don't want to be doing new test shoots all the time, have enough headshots to have variations changing, because that is such a big thing.
And when you're going to a test shoot, make sure that you're happy.
Oh, yeah.
And that you've got enough headshots, because we'll get sent all these test shoots and they're all 3/4 pulled back. And I'm like, I've got one headshot here and it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Headshot is so important.
Yeah.
I tell people that so much. And I'm like, you know, we make headshots out of things that are not headshots. And sometimes I love the quirky ones. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, that is what's going to make the client click on your book. And, you know, we cannot screenshot your entire book every time you send you out. It doesn't work like that. I think that is key. Keep the models that test, that are always updating their books. I love those models. Because it just makes it easier.
Yeah. And not waiting. I agree. Not waiting for your agency to set the test up. If you're being proactive.
This is your job.
Yeah. You know, teamwork.
You need to be proactive. You need to be creative. And you don't have to pay for £500 every single time you test. I say invest in 2 or 3 really good ones. You will make that money back in no time if you work with good people. But then you can do lesser ones in between just to pad it out. And also chase for your workshops. That makes such a difference to a model's
book.
That's
actually such a good point, because so many models just go, oh, you've got the pictures. And we're like, we don't get the pictures. They never send us.
I think they think that we do that. But if we
And when we ask for them,
we had to do that on every single job we booked.
We'd never book any jobs.
And don't get me wrong, if a model says to me, oh my God, I'd love to get the images from that, I will send an email, but you need to ask when you're, you know, you need to go through these websites, find them, send the links to model management. Yeah. They will put them in your books.
Yeah.
Campaign stuff. Yeah. Most of the time the client would send you stuff like that. That's nice. But yeah, workshops. I just think any work shots is so good to have in your book. It just
spreads
that out.
Yeah, because often we get all these girls coming from overseas and they've done so much e-com. They've done Zara or Mango or whatever it is.
Mm.
And we're like, we need those pictures to pad out your book because we'll make, you know, 15, 20 books.
Yeah.
We need all the variations.
E-com book. To swim book. Yeah,
yeah.
You do. The more the merrier. You can no model can ever have too many images.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to be a model agent?
A model agent?
Yeah.
Whew. If you don't know anything about the industry, it's, you know, you need to do your research. Like, you need to have some kind of interest in this industry to be in it. I don't think it's something you just walk into one day and go, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
A lot of people from sales backgrounds follow into this industry. I think we're not salespeople, obviously, models are models, but at the end of the day, what our conversations with the clients every day, we're sending them girls to then book. And so people skills is a must. You need to know how to speak to people, negotiate, read contracts, work, you know, and I think a lot of it boils down to if you can forge good relationships with your clients and your models, then that's a really good starting point.
Yeah.
And listen, be open to learning. Like, doesn't matter what background you've got, if you're coming into an industry that you've never been in before, you need to be open to learn.
True.
And it's ever evolving, this industry. So you need, we're still learning stuff.
I think that's good advice. You've got to be on it. You've got to
You need to be on it.
People skills. I think so many people think that it's easy, as we've said already.
Yeah.
And it's my pet peeve. You know, when I'm interviewing people, I'm like, anyone who sits back in their chair, it's just not going to work for me.
this is why we have sciatica.
This is why we have a bad back. Because we're sitting forward and we're so in it. Yeah. We're like in our computers. Honestly, it's ridiculous. I sent about four. The other day I looked at my sent and I averaged about 3 to 4 emails a minute. It was not normal, but I'm in it. I'm like swimming in it.
Yeah.
But no, you've got to have the people skills. Yeah. You've got to be on it. And
you need to be organized. You need to be able to, you know.
I need help on that. Just need more help.
We need a bigger inbox.
We do.
Yeah.
What advice would you, I don't know, maybe because you've got a daughter, let's say Lily wants to go into the industry. What advice would you give Lil, if she says to you, you know, Mom, I want to be a model, what would be your advice?
I mean, if that's what she wanted to do, I would be behind her 100%. I mean, she, with me and her dad to combined, I think she'd have all eyes. The biggest thing for me is if she did it, it's the feeling of being with an agent. I think there's so many agencies out there worldwide, and I'm sure most of them are lovely. But even in my short time, and I was no big model of any, that you need to have a good feeling about your agency. They need to be people you can approach. You need to feel safe and that they actually care.
Yeah.
Whether they are a huge agency or a small agency, if you don't have that, especially if you're going to be traveling, you know, we have so many models that travel around the world in different cities all the time. If you don't have people that you can trust and are going to be there for you, that's not your agent.
Good advice.
I think that's the biggest thing, because anyone that if you're in that safe space and you feel like you can approach them, if you're worried about something, especially if you're starting out, it's a scary industry to just suddenly jump into at a young age.
Yeah.
And it can go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
If you are, and you know, we see girls fly, and it's so nice to see. But Yeah, you need to have people around you that actually care, not just interested in making money out of you.
Mm, yeah.
Because there's a lot of that.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that would be my thing. And do it as long as you love it. I think there's so many young models. And also, to be honest, it doesn't matter what age you come into it. Like we see now, like the industry that when I was in it, e-com and stuff like that, it was like the younger the better, 17 to 22. We don't want anyone over the age of 23. Mm. And I was like, really? So I'm 25 and I'm done. But I actually see now the girls that are working the most and for such incredible brands, it's more 26, 27, 28, 29. And it's like they're getting better and better and better. Oh, God, yeah. And beyond. Mm. And I'm like, this is so refreshing.
Yeah.
Because that's the consumer as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the bigger brands, there's no 18-year-olds buying it. Mm. Even fast fashion has changed. Like even those models they're using, they're definitely getting more
older.
Which is nice.
Slightly. Slowly but surely.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work for the young girls. But it's just, it's interesting to see. It has changed in that way. E-com was so young focused.
Mm. Yeah.
And that has definitely changed.
How do you see the world of modeling evolving, changing?
It's definitely changing. I think social media has got a big part to play in that.
Mm.
The diversity side of things, I feel like every client I work with anyway, the difference in what they want to showcase, what they want to make sure that they're, how inclusive they are. And I mean, we're not just talking ethnicities, we're talking everything, which I love. That's incredible. That has changed massively just in my time from being a model to now.
Yeah.
So I think that will carry on and for the good. I think I'm intrigued to see where the social media side thing goes because it obviously helps with certain brands and especially so socials is now part of usages. Never used to be a thing, obviously. And so you can get a lot of clients that will book solely just to post on their social media. I think that will carry on. If anything, I feel like there's a lot of brands starting just to do that. Don't bother with a website. Don't bother with a shop. Let's just do this. And it works. So I think more of that will come. But I don't know what I don't know. I don't, AI?
What's your take on that?
Scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It's scary. I hope it doesn't become a thing because we will have no job.
Don't you think? I'm not afraid of it. I think
it can only go so far.
But I think that brands will push back and they'll have to prove so much that, you know, like all the real people briefs we've been getting over the last 10 years. But I think it will be even more. Mm. They'll be trying to prove. I think a lot of people will, you know, try it.
Yeah.
But I think.
Yeah, I think they'll test it out.
Yeah.
And why not? I think it will work. It could work for a certain. There's so many jobs that we book. It just wouldn't work for. Mm. And personally, if I was to buy clothing,
you want to know that you're buying it from a human.
That's it. Like, you can't put an AI stats.
Yeah.
This AI is 5'9". No, they're not.
Yeah.
So I think, it can only go so far. I think you could play on it with like fun commercials and stuff like that. Like with, I don't know. I actually saw one on Instagram the other day and it was an Adidas. Adidas didn't make it. A person made it as if Adidas had. And I was like, tell me Adidas haven't done a whole commercial AI.
No way.
They hadn't.
Yeah.
But some IT guy did. And don't get me wrong, it looked cool. But it was dead. Mm-hmm. Everyone was dead in the eyes.
Yeah.
And it was weird watching it.
Yeah.
Because you knew the minute it started, it was AI.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well.
I think a lot of car commercials are doing it.
Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I think it will adapt to certain things, but you still need people.
Mm. I just see brands just pushing back and just making it such a standpoint that these are real people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So don't worry, people. It's going to be okay. Don't freak out.
No, I don't think it will.
Yeah.
I think some of the tech brands and stuff, you know, there'll be some people will play with it. Fair enough.
I've got a question for you. What do you think makes you different as a booker to other people?
I work hard. Yeah. I will, and I'm not scared of it. I'm not scared to work hard. First 2 years, especially, I grafted. I worked till 11 o'clock every night.
Is that a body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to put my mark on, you know, I wanted to forge my relationships. I wanted to know what I was doing inside out. And that I'm very OCD in the sense that I need everything the way I need it.
Yeah.
So I can function and I can work best. So I think I'm very approachable in terms of for the model side, I can speak. And same for the client. Like, ask me anything. I'll jump on the phone with you.
Yeah.
If you don't want to speak to me on the phone, that's absolutely fine. Just tell me what you need. I think I go, I don't know if all, I mean, maybe all bookers do it, but you know, if you email me at 9 o'clock and I'm sat with my phone in front of me, I will answer you.
We always email after hours.
I mean, me and you email all the time. But if a client once has emailed me, they're not expecting a reply most of the time at that time. They do it because, like us, we catch up in the evening on things that we need to do. But I will reply. And I've booked jobs so many times at 9:30 at night because the client's gone, oh, this is great. Who do you have? Here you go. Can I have that person, please? Because we're not having interruptions because nobody else is emailing us. But yeah, it's not a 9-to-5. You have to be prepared. You know, if you walk out the office at 6 p.m. and turn your phone off, you're never going to get anywhere. Yeah. And yeah, it's stressful sometimes. And you do need to set yourself boundaries so that you don't go crazy. But you need to put those extra hours in. You need to put that extra... Like, if a client ever asks us, do you shut at Christmas? No.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Like, the only time I'm not on my phone is if I'm actually on holiday. But then we have one of our other guys covering us. So there, you just need to, you know, if you want it enough, it doesn't come, it doesn't get handed to you. Yeah. And I do think it's even more rewarding then when you get busy and you see all your bookings coming in because you did that.
Yeah.
And it then helps gain more. And it also builds a booker's confidence when you get busier. I think it's no matter how long you've been in this industry, it's still fun when you get to book the big jobs and you get girls signed off and they're so happy. And it's, I love it. I still love it.
I think you do need to live it to love it.
Yeah.
You can't dip in and out of what we do.
It isn't.
Yeah.
But once you get it and you're good at it, you wouldn't have it any other way anyway.
Yeah.
Because it just becomes, you can answer somebody so quick because you know what they want. You know, do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I need to do this now.
Yeah.
It takes 5 minutes because it is part and parcel.
Yeah. And then you want more. And then you just want to help me.
You get greedy. And you...
But in a good way, you're just like, you don't
need more.
To use anyone else. Just use me.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that we can do for you.
Yeah. No, it
is. The energy.
Buzzing. Yeah. But that's it. Like when you get, and we have so many cool clients that are like the same as us. Everyone in this industry is very like-minded. And I do think, you know, everybody gets it. We all have stressy days, but then you can literally pick up the phone and be like, what do you need? I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like, that's what you want. If you can get to that stage with your client where you can be like, I'm in a meeting, I'll be 5 minutes and I'll phone you back. Like, that's how it should be. And
I think
vice versa.
Maybe because we both, you know, did modeling and we would spend hours a day with people that we kind of get it that you do just build those relationships where I think sometimes people who maybe have worked for me in the past, they think there's like a barrier or something,
you need these people are still people.
They kind of become your friends and you know so much about them. And I think you need to because and I say that to new staff. I'm like, you need to care. If you don't care, it's not going to work.
No, you do need to care. Like, things happen in this industry and, you know, it can be hard if models are so busy or a client wants something that you can't give them, say a model's left town or anything like that. But you be honest. You speak to them, you get on the phone, you say, this has happened, but here's your solution.
Yeah.
And as long as you come with a solution,
yeah.
9 times out of 10, they'll be like, I appreciate that. Yeah. You've done that. You fixed it before it was a problem.
Yeah.
And things happen, yeah. So, but if you have a relationship with that client, they know things happen and it's not a big deal. And you just move on and go on to the next.
Yeah.
If you don't have a relationship, it's harder, isn't it? You can't feel like you can pick the phone up and say,
yeah,
really sorry. But you know, things do happen. It's and it's real life. But yeah, the client relationship in my eyes is the most important thing out of anything. Because it benefits not only us, but it benefits the models.
Yeah. It's really interesting as well, I think, for a lot of models to think they don't have to bribe their booker. They don't have to put on a show. If you're, like you said, if they're not delivering what they need to, just leave.
Yeah.
And then also your top tips for bookers, like how to get into the industry, how to be successful. You know, it's not difficult. You just got to be persistent.
You just got to be prepared to work hard. And I think that's the long and the short of it. Like, it's not something that happens overnight. Yeah. And you can't be scared to put the hours in. And if you are, this industry is not for you.
Yeah.
But it all pays off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just think anything that is worth having shouldn't come easy.
Yeah. So true.
Cliche, but true.
So true.
And yeah, for the models, it is like, I love our models. Like, I love getting to know them. I love the relationships I have with a lot of them. I speak to some of them every day. And I hope that they think I'm approachable, because I would always want them to call me, to message me. And if I can't speak to them that minute, I will always say, give me 10 and I'll call you back. Because, you know, some days are crazy. But the only time I would ever be annoyed at a model is from what I said earlier. Like, just answer your phone.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, and if you're busy, or you're just literally ping me a message, I'm busy, I'll call you. That's, or if you can WhatsApp, just say, I'm free. I've seen your email. I'm free.
But this is what always gets us, because everyone is on their phone all the time. Just reply. The faster you reply, so anyone listening,
I mean,
the best advice.
I don't need
for a
an
model,
essay. I don't need a reason.
The best advice for a model wanting to book more jobs, reply the fastest
and you're
you
in.
Will get booked on more jobs.
Yep.
Because the faster.
Sometimes we have clients saying, who can you get here now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever answers me first is going.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
And on that note.
Yeah. Oh my God, we're going to have so many phone calls tomorrow. No, yeah. But it is as simple as that. Like, it's, you know, this is your job.
Yeah.
And if you want me to push you, answer your phone.
Yeah.
And just be reliable. Be professional, be reliable. And that, again, will work in your favor. The client will rebook you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good advice.